All right. So, heavenly rewards. And the one thing I want to kind of show you, and I hope you're seeing this when we do some of these studies, what did you think of these before? What did you think of rewards, how that worked? And how many of us just went along with either what somebody said or what I believed in my mind, never really checked on it? And we do that with a lot of these topics, things that we just thought all of our lives. And you have to understand that shows a lack of reverence. Because reverence is the thing of I have to know. You know what I mean? I don't care what anybody else says. You can tell me anything you want. I'm always going to check. I have to know. And it's putting that into perspective of your life of what I need to do. We tend to have one, it would be nice to, but I got other things to do. We tend to have that mindset not to make him the priority, almost as if I'm going to heaven anyway. Do you understand? And I think we have that more, especially in those who call themselves Christians today. They have this mindset in which it's just going to automatically happen and everything's going to be good. Take what his word gives us and be careful and let that be your protection to be your guide and don't just take it for granted. So now, heavenly rewards, remember on Sermon on the Mount, he showed the blessed. And one trend, it's not saying everybody has to be miserable. It's when people really understand. That's why he says, blessed are the poor, blessed are the hunger, blessed are those who weep now. Those are the ones who get it. When we're on this earth and we get what it's really about, we seek God. You know what I mean? We want God. But to those who don't, if you notice, they'll have more what we may call fleshly desires. Fulfilled in a sense, because that's what they're living for. He says, woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed, for you will go hungry. Now, of course, he's not saying the people who have money are going to go to hell and they're going to struggle. No, it's when I'm defined by that, when that's what defines my life and how I am. So we have to really watch how this goes. And we've seen Moses understood it, and he had the foresight to give up present worldly pleasures and focus on receiving heavenly rewards. Remember, it said that. I mean, made the understanding that he chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. During the final judgment, two things will happen: rewards and destruction. And we are to live our lives as athletes in the game to win the prize. I know sometimes we have this mindset, and remember, human humility is still based on us. And when God tells me to strive for something, he doesn't look at me with, oh, he's so humble and he's so whatever. When I go, you know what, God, I'm just going to be happy to be in heaven. When he tells me to strive for the prize, his whole word tells us that. So he wants us to do that. He wants us to look forward to gaining our rewards, not just having that human mindset like we may do here on earth, because we're striving for him, which means something. Now, rewards will go to everyone, no matter their position on earth, whether it's good or bad, how that works. And we've seen some of them under what we know as crowns. Of course, it doesn't fit what we know as crowns. It's going to be it's a crown, but I think it's going to have a lot more to it, which once again, I don't think we can comprehend right now. And there are different forms of crown: crowns of righteousness, crowns of life. We have the crown of glory, that's for ministers and pastors, and the crown of victory. Okay, all of these, he gives descriptions on how you receive them and how that entire thing works. So we dove into how we get these rewards. Your life is your ministry. The difference between those who are living so they're not condemned versus those who are living for rewards is going to be the foundation. Christ is the foundation. As long as I don't leave Christ, I'm headed to heaven. Plain and simple, I'm going to be with God forever. However, the rewards are going to count on what I invest, how I, the value I put into my ministry. Now, if you're misled, if you're naive, if you listen to a lot to men, some of us are doing a lot based on men, which means we're doing absolutely nothing. Take that in mind. You have some people that are just extremely religiously busy, while in reality, they're not spiritually growing. They're not doing what they're supposed to in the value that God is saying. And that's why the foundation comes in, and you'll see the value of it, and it's tested with fire. is tested with fire. And you have three of them that'll make it through the fire, and the purity of gold is going to be the best one, and the one that's going to burn all up is going to be straw. Like he said, that person himself will be saved, but you know, he'll just be getting in, and you don't want to be that. Well, you want to be that, if nothing less, but he's saying strive for the gold at all times. Now, our rewards in heaven will be based on our actions on earth, plain and simple. And we recognize what we do, and it's not what the world calls good. I can't stress that enough. Too many times, if I keep letting the world define my good, that's what you see a lot of people doing. That's why we get caught up in organizations. We do things that somebody said was good, and we didn't check with God. And without reverence, it means you invested nothing. Because remember, Christ is the foundation. Let Christ tell you what that means. You know what I mean? And in doing so, and I'm gonna give you an example. Let's say I'm working real hard and people like me and all this other stuff, but I got a family and I'm spending no time with my family. I lost rewards. Why? Because the Bible's more on how I am as a father, how I am as a husband. Do you see where I'm going with this? The world loves me because I'm just a busy man doing all this stuff and people like me. Do you see what I'm measuring it on? When I follow what the world says, you have people doing something that the world will cheer you on, while in reality, God is saying, no, I told you to do this. Make sure there's a balance. Understand when it's time to move on. Knowing we'll be rewarded by him is part of our faith. All right, and we must have the same mind as Jesus, because we cannot comprehend what it truly means to have or to lose our rewards. That's why it says your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Okay, he humbled himself and became obedient to death. That just means I'm trusting him. Not, hey, I need you to give me some more visuals and understanding of what those rewards are. We tend to try God, we tend to mock God instead of just trusting God. We all have roles to play as part of the body. Our reward will be for us doing what we were ordained to do. When you were created, God already had in store what he would have you to do. So I'm to live my life finding out what am I as part of the body. How does he want me to live? But we've got misled to where we now focus on what we want to do and how we want to be. And that's a big misleading, where a lot of people think they're busy, think they're fulfilling life, and they've done nothing. We saw that being persecuted because of Jesus gets rewards, and it comes down to purpose. It all comes down to purpose, right? If I do it for men to see me and call me holy and all that, in other words, when I'm doing to show off me and people to see me, that's my reward. I've done absolutely nothing to receive reward. Now, other things we may not realize that affect our reward is our prayers based on purpose. Are we praying to and for God or for anything else? Is my purpose praying for how God wants me to pray, or am I praying the way the world wants me to pray? You got some, like I said, excellent speakers, and they just pray to make a person go, wow. While in reality, is what they were praying in line with God. While you have somebody else may not be as great in their prayer, but what they're praying is truly sincere in the Lord. So that's a big part. When you fast, do you fast the way he would have us to fast? And how do we treat those ordained by God? So first of all, knowing how we treat those ordained by God, because you get a reward if you treat them right, but you got to know the ones that are. If somebody just comes to you and say they're a minister and you treat them well, see, you already messed up, because your reverence, the lack of your reverence, which would have protected you, you're not leaning upon. That's why some people just because a person's called a pastor, they'll then do anything they say. I've heard people that pastors told them to do some of the craziest things, and you have pastors that will even take advantage of people, and you'll hear the people go, well, I was supposed to. He's a pastor. I've had people tell me in my young years as a minister that if a minister or an older pastor says something wrong, I'm not supposed to call them on it because they're a minister. It's not something that, I mean, it's something that kind of shakes me up, because that's naivety that we fall into, and we gave more credit to the title instead of giving all the credit to God. Because going to God, God lets us know. We've seen Paul and the rest of them tell you about the misleading teachers and watch out for false teachers and warn the church about them. But do you see how we get caught up in our own way and we mislead as we're being misled? So that was where we left off. So now, how we treat our enemies will greatly affect our reward in heaven. This one's tough. because you have a lot of people that love their way, but you'll hear them say hate. I've heard Christians that are really good to chosen groups. Groups they choose to be nice to. And I mean, they're extra nice to them and they're there and the people love them. However, there are people they are totally opposite with. If God said, explain to me these people who are treating you bad, how do you treat them? And if the minute I come back with this excuse of, but did you see what they did to me? I already failed. Okay. This is why this reward is so important to show, am I selfless living for God? Or is my being a Christian all about me? He shows in Luke 6, 32 through 36, he says, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? That's what these groups are doing. They'll get people that believe in them, think about them, and they'll do a whole lot of good things for them. Nothing, no reward. Do you understand? Because that's expected. That's something you're getting something out of. He said, even sinners love those who love them. No big deal. You understand that? And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? God is not impressed, not has any rewards really tied to it, because the reward you get is just enjoying those people you like. They're not trying to harm you, they're here to help you, and vice versa. That's so great. But he says, once again, even sinners do that. And if you lend to those whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? You understand that? When we have it, give it to people that we know will get it back. I'm not saying never expect it back. There's a verse that says we owe nobody anything but love. So that doesn't mean somebody borrows something and say, remember, the Bible says you don't have to get back to me. You will be held accountable for that. But you do have people that fall into situations, and you as a Christian already went into it not expecting back. You know, it's a blessing when you get back. I've seen this ruin relationships, and that should not be. Because if a person's doing wrong, God always says, I'm going to handle that. Do you understand it? He says, watch this. Then say, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies. Love is an action. And he said, enemies, this group of people, goal is to harm you. Right? Make no mistake about it. He's not talking about people that you may think you don't like. You know, we have people that we end up making enemies because we're too doggone sensitive nowadays. And somebody may say something that we misunderstand, and we stop talking. Those are not enemies. That's just our problem, lack of communication. I'm talking about somebody that literally is trying to harm you, right? You know this, and he says to do what? Love them. Love your enemies. Do good to them. Lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Now, this is all reverence, because as we look at this, it really makes no sense, right? I'll just stay away from them. Isn't that what we say? You know what? I don't be bothered with them. But when we're still nice to them, you understand that? Your feelings may feel a certain way. That's the flesh, because it's a desire. Do you understand? But your response will be right there for them in the Lord. He says, then your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful. Watch this. Just as your Father is merciful. He talks about mercy all the time. And at times, we like to measure wrong, and we want to punish for wrong. How many do you see that have this mindset and are living that? You get time and time again where somebody will give you the whole speech on, did you see what they did to me? And let me explain. And I don't doubt all that you're saying is true. You know what I mean? Not a doubt in my mind that what you're saying, they tried to harm you. But a Christian's mindset is off of self and into loving them. Right now, we are so polarized in our country, but Christians are also that way. We've separated. And if you see one as an enemy, you don't treat them the way the world does. World attacks, hates, wants to harm enemies. Christians should show just the opposite, right? Now remember, you're not doing what they want. You're doing good based on God. Know the difference, okay? Because you have some people that just roll over and enable them. That's not what the word said. You're there and you're still going to do good as if you would for somebody that you love and that was good to you. That's what it's telling us. Because what is my goal for my reward? Yes, that enemy may harm me sometimes. Yes, that enemy may not give me my money back, right? Yes, that enemy may not show that love to me, right? But I'm not looking to that enemy. I'm looking to God. How I treat you should show on how I'm referencing God. Remember, we saw that in the one study where we talked about the poor. How you treat the poor actually mirrors how you are with God. We have a lot of people down here that treat the poor very bad. We see that now, once again, especially in our country. We make, our excuses. I'm curious, those people who make a stand on these things, what they're going to say to God. Because they really have no way to stand up for themselves, or like get rid of them, do this to them, don't give them this, and we're ignoring them as if we did something better. I wonder how that's going to go when we have to meet God. What's our excuse going to be on these cases? But we don't think about that. The mercy, even to those who've done wrong, is to how can I help them? Especially when people go to jail and things of that sort, we just kind of go no better for them. Turn a blind eye to them instead of how can we minister to them to first get them out that life of crime, let them understand because of what you're in, the world's going to treat you a certain way. How do we deal with them in a godly way? How do we do this? That's mercy. Mercy is how can I help you to go to God? Not, I can't stand this group of people and this group of people is bad. Anytime you hear somebody use a group of people, okay, without God evidence or God foundation to it, that person is setting themselves up because they're judging. Okay? This is why any type of ism, especially racism, is demonic. You can't be a Christian and have one of those isms. You cannot. I know people think, and you don't hear churches preach it enough, but you cannot. And I don't care what race you are, even if you hate your own race, when you hate a group, you can't be a Christian. You can't not love. Do you understand this? And call yourself a Christian. It just doesn't mix. Next, we see how we are to authorities will either reward us good if we do what God says or bad if we don't. How we do with authorities, when he says in Colossians 3, 22 to 25, remember, when he jumps in, he says, slaves, obey your earthly masters. Now, not in the same tone, and I told you I have a study on slavery, which I haven't touched on, just to let everybody know the overall, in case anybody had a question on it, and we can show you that in God's word, the slavery in the Old Testament was with the Israelites and the nations that they basically took over. And they were able to make those slaves, plus poor ones, were able to become what's called indentured servants. In other words, they'd work for you because they couldn't afford, and some of them would choose to stay. Any other slavery to happen under that is not under God. In fact, the type of slavery we've seen after that, especially a transatlantic African slave, if you read the Bible says those people should be put to death. The ones who participated in it should be put to death. The Bible's very clear on that. So be careful when you see slave and just kind of clump it under one thing. The Bible's very clear on how that process worked. I will go over that if you would like me to. But all that stuff that happened afterwards, evil. Anybody participated, they're going to have to answer to God. So when he's talking about slaves in here, it's still talking about those who kind of left over and the indentured servants to them as well, but it talks about anyone that has the head or the leader or the boss, and you're the coworker, if you will, okay, the subordinate. He says, obey your earthly master. So at my job, my boss tells me to do something, as long as it's not going against God, I do it. Now, we get people today that get mad because they told us to do something. Now, it's not just against them. I may keep my job, but look who I have to answer to. He goes on, obey your earthly masters in everything and do it not only when their eye is on you and to win their favor, but with sincerity of the heart. Remember, sincerity comes from God and reverence for the Lord. So it's not my boss. It's not even my job that I'm concerned about. It's God. Do you understand this? Whatever you do, work it at it all with your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. I'm not doing it for them. Got to do it for God. He says, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. This is part of that deal and what I'm going to get out of it, but I got to make sure I don't get, take it personal and make it about me and then still getting put on punishment because of what I don't like or what I think this person's not doing for me. He says, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for his wrong, and there is no favoritism. He gives us that warning, and how are we? Right? I see people that when they are under a boss they like, man, they're excellent. When they're under a boss, they don't. And we're not just even talking about boss, we're talking about overall authority. Because you see that same thing, right? If you're under a president, you like, you know, you're great, and you're following them, you're doing all. The ones you don't, you don't. You know what I mean? Some people, wait, Pastor, are we supposed to fall? Once again, if they have you do something against God, the answer is no. This is one of the main things they used to use against the apostles and even against Jesus, because they weren't breaking the law and they weren't disobeying their authority. They were obeying God. So know the difference on that, all right? Nothing wrong when they tell me to do something wrong for me to go, I can't do it. And if I go to jail for that, if I get punished for that, all that stuff is because God said, I'm not. You understand? And those who use that excuse of, well, the law said I have to do this, even though you know God said I have to do that, you're in trouble. Know the difference. Please understand how this whole process works. He said there's no favoritism, and anyone who does wrong will be repaid for his wrong. Enduring in hard times and suffering will richly reward us. Now, we've seen the blessed are those, and it seems like And some churches only harp on, try to be in the most miserable life you can be to receive the most rewards. That's not what it's saying. Because when you go through life and you do what it says in Romans 12, where I offer my body as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, I'm going to miss out on stuff. And it's going to hurt in many cases. Just even in certain things, simple things like dating and getting married, promotions at a job, certain things to have access to, we just won't get. There are certain many people that are going to go through life and it's just not going to work out the way they desire. But the ones who serve God are going to understand that and say, I would love to have this. And if it opens up and I can within the Lord, I'm going to do it. But if not, I'm not. I'm just going to, you know, serve him. It's going to cause suffering. But when he says in Hebrews 10, 32 through 36, watch what he's talking about, because suffering is exactly that, that pain in the body and in the mind. He says, remember those early days after you have received the light, when you stood your ground in great contest in the face of suffering. So in other words, talking about the same group, the law may have said, people may have said, and they stood firm on what God said. And many times we're tested. And this is why you get these other teachers, so-called, and you get these other organizations, so-called, that come up and they are able to distort the Bible and we follow them. Why? Because I want to do what pleases my flesh. So I'm going to go to Church A. Church A said it's okay for me to be and to act and to treat, and I follow them. But the ones who said God said, so I'm not budging, knowing I may get punished, all right? But the whole thing is, I'll accept punishment in order to serve God. He says, sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. How many times do we stand for God and lost friends, lost relationships, people said stuff about you? And I'm talking about those who truly stood for the Lord. One thing Satan has done brilliantly is he had some people doing some horrible things in the name of the Lord. Ignorant people who don't know the word of God will go there standing for God and try to support them. Why am I saying ignorant? Because we should know better. How many times have we called people godly when they are not? And the people who are watching you who may not know are learning from your ignorance and so on and so forth. You understand this. Know when they're standing for God, but always know God may allow a punishment to come, but it's not a real punishment. It's for your stance. It's for your belief in him. It's for your trust in him. He shows us that publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times, you stood side by side with those who were so treated. In other words, sometimes it wasn't you that was treated that way, but I'm going to go and I'm not going to watch them. Because a lot of times we watch a person getting in trouble for righteousness, but we go, no, I'm not getting involved. Isn't that what we do? Yeah, I'm not going to. How many times is that your job? Your reason why you didn't stand up for what God said is because I can't lose my job. You know, I got a family to take care of. And now, in a human sense, makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? However, who is my provider? I only have one provider, and it's not my job. Watch this. It's not even me, right? But the minute I do stuff like that and I watch something happen and I don't make the right type of stand, right? It doesn't always have to be. And I know some people like to do marches and stands. Sometimes those things can be appropriate if you follow God's word, but it's not as much as we see done today. It's usually emotional and we go out of time. But sometimes when you're like, I'm not participating in this, I'm not standing for this, I'm not supporting this, you're standing with them. Stood side by side with those who were so treated. They're treated bad. You know what? You might as well do it with me also. He says, you sympathize with those in prison. Not just automatically call them criminals and look down on them, even if they did do wrong. It's what can I do to help them? And joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property. And there's a lot of false things going on down here. We see it in taxes, where people have worked hard. I know people who pay off their houses, and I'm sure this is in every state around the world, and you still pay these property taxes. And if you can't pay it, they take that house you already paid for, and so on and so forth. And you see how that works. And God knows that. Sometimes he may do a thing that won't happen. Other times, it may be allowed to happen. And the people who participate in these things will have to answer to God. And one that it happens to, don't be discouraged. Understand, you know what? I have the Lord. Just like Job, Lord giveth, Lord taketh away. Right? I don't want to take it for granted that I worked hard and this is mine. Mine is, he's my provider. So if something is allowed to be taken away and I do all that I can, I still lean upon my provider. And that's going to show action. He says, because you know that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. We have eternal possessions. So do not throw away your confidence. He's letting you know you're going to go through this and you're going to feel like quitting. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere. You need to persevere. Perseverance is, this hurts, doesn't look like it's going to end. Why am I so frustrated? But what happens? I keep going. Right? We're in a time where we keep getting these people who encourage us encourage me in the flesh. So if I persevere only because you told me it's going to get better soon, you might have caused a major problem. You might have been a stumbling block in my life. Because for that moment, I might feel good. But is that what God said? Keith, you might. This is going to happen soon. And in my definition of soon is not your definition of soon, and so on and so forth. Are we encouraging to the spirit? Or are we encouraging to the flesh? He says, you need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. Our goal is to receive from him, not to receive what we think we want to receive. Many are in a space where things fall into place for them, and they never check and say, am I staying within the will of God? Especially when we're really comfortable. It's very easy for us to, you know, show off in church and then go back under our comfort. Do we check ourselves in our comfort? When I have more, am I giving more? Am I standing with those who are in harm? Am I looking out for those who are oppressed and poor? Am I doing all these things? 9 times out of 10, the answer is no. And we have to understand that, recognize that. And I'm not saying you're going to go out and give up everything. No, but you got to make sure what defines your life. What things are you looking to and living for? So now, with that, we have to understand, because remember he said you're going to be rewarded whether you do good or bad. The reward may be a loss of reward. And he shows us how we can lose our reward. Once again, still saved, but you can now lose them. So he warns us of these things. First of all, we receive for doing good, but we will lose for doing bad. Sounds so simple. Please understand this. Know what true good and true bad is, right? Know what true good and true bad is. There are organizations people are joining because they told you it's a godly organization, right? You joined it because they told you it's a godly or good organization. Never checked with God, right? It's as simple as that. In any of our political groups or whatever, all evil. And it's not hard to show, but for some odd reason, we cling on to them and use that, well, you got to pick one. We use some of the worst excuses, not realizing, man, I'm losing reward after reward because I'm doing bad, disguising itself as good. But that's my fault because I'm not checking. He shows the 2 Corinthians 5, 7 through 10. He says, we live by faith, not by sight. Stopping there, the question is going to be asked, and remember how Jesus protected himself. So, Keith, why is this organization good? And I better be able to go, it is written. Better not come up with some one lame thing that maybe this group does. Isn't this great? Because all that has to be said is, what about this other stuff that's canceling out that? And we say nothing. We're ignoring it because we want to. You understand that? When I live by faith, that means everything you ask me, everything that I do, I should be able to answer it with sound doctrine, not with human proof. Human proof, sight. Godly word, faith. See the difference. He says in verse 8, we are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and be at home with the Lord. Watch this. So we make it our goal to please him. Remember Galatians 6? Isn't that what it says? Right? Those who's basically who are living to please him are going to have eternal life. Those who live to please the flesh are headed for destruction. That's even more than rewards. But we have to make it our goal to please him. That means I check with him and I don't take your word for it. I grew up in many cases, and we had the elders of the church, and I'm not talking about the men, I'm talking about older women, older men that you just respected because of their age. I had people in my life that would tell me things to do. And when I would search God's word, I'm like, why are they telling me this and this not here? Because it was something that they absorbed and they took, calling it good. Right? But it wasn't good. He says, whether we are at home in the body or away from it, for we must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Everything you do, you got to pay for. He's showing us that. That's how the reward system will work. And he gives us instruction on what this is. But if I keep doing it my way or keep following a world way or some organization's way, my fault. By not living according to God's rules is another way we can lose rewards. 2 Timothy 2:5 says, similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. Now, you have some people that stay on the foundation of Christ, but they cut corners, right? There is a way I have to deal with things and persevere through things. Now, if I have more money and I have more access, I could probably deal through things a lot better. Our richest people will get more access. And I know we go, it's unfair. God was like, don't worry about fairness now. Do you understand that? They will pay. Okay? If I'm persistent, trusting in him all the time, the bigger the reward. But if I allow shortcuts that I have access to, and he will offer some, those shortcuts, just like he did with Moses. Right? Moses could have stayed in Egypt. And still say, I'll catch up with you guys once I get older. But right now, I'm in Egypt. You know, I don't want to lose this. He didn't do that. He was like, no, I'm going to go with my people. And he understood that even if he stood there with the pleasures of sin, and I think a lot of us know this, a lot of that hits our desires. And it's hard for us to know, you mean I got to give this up and I may not get it back? It's frustrating to know that. So people don't want that. So we stop competing according to his rules and start making them up. And we get ministers that make it up for you, and we give a ton of money to organizations that call themselves churches, and then we think, okay, I paid a whole lot of money. Do you understand? There are churches that were known in very crime-ridden areas where they would give that organization money, you know what I mean? And the church would just bless them. Now, right there, the church knew what they were getting money for. They knew what they were doing, and they would participate. All of it was wrong, but we think we're putting the wool over God's eyes. We can lose those heavenly rewards by carelessly living. 2 John 7, verse 11 says, many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. He's already warned us we're going to have these false teachers, these ones that come off like they're Christians. And if I don't know any better, I'm going to be misled. Any such person is a deceiver and the Antichrist. Okay, this person you want to avoid and understand that they are a danger. He says, watch out that you do not lose what you have worked for. We get caught up in these people that can't prove themselves by the word, but I like them. I heard people say, I like that person's spirit. What the heck does that mean? Did you test that spirit? If you tested it, then amen. But most didn't test it. It was an emotion they had. You got it? He says, but that you may be rewarded fully. Anyone, and here's the deal, who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. In other words, and here's the one that really gets people, they know the Bible, and they'll teach the Bible, and, right? Or they'll teach some of the Bible and leave some out. That's running ahead. Running ahead is, I'm going to give you the Bible, but I'm going to give you this other stuff. Be careful, because I think in our intelligence and sometimes in our own curiosity, there's a lot of stuff out there that we can come back and tell people about. I've said it before. We know there was Nephilim. But man, you go on the internet and you can find a whole lot of information on those giants. Okay? But it didn't come from the Bible. Right? We understand there are demons. And you can go out in the library, go online and find a whole bunch of things of how to deal with demons and how many they are and what types they are. But you won't find what they're saying in the Bible. But watch people. They react to those instead of reacting to God, not realizing they're putting their own selves in danger. They're removing the true protection that they have because they allow somebody who runs ahead. Now, watch this. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and Son. Here's another one of those of you'll know them by their fruit. If all I hear you teaching is God's word, okay, that person's good. He's like, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, in other words, that's it. Do not take him into your house or welcome him. You understand? The minute they go off on these tangents, stuff like that, and you warn them, and that's their ministry, he was like, I can't be partners with you. You let them know, I can't support this. And not only can I support this, I can't support you. That's why he says, anyone who welcomes him shares in his wicked worth. Now, you're considered as doing it. You're an accessory to it. To you, you are participating in that wrong teaching, even though you may not have taught it at all. But you're showing support, even by welcoming them in. This is not talking about like groups like Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons. We already know them as not being Christian. We already see them as unbelievers. We minister to them. We are not partners with them. But the minute you get somebody that calls himself a Christian and they keep spewing out stuff that's not in God's word, that's our protection. Don't use that protection. You're setting yourself up. You see where I'm going with it? Okay? And understand, there are those that can make us lose our prize if we allow them. No one can take, just like no one can take our salvation, right? And we can't even lose our salvation. All of it is going to be the choice we make. It's something I allow. Colossians 2, 18 through 19 says, do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you for the prize. So what we call religious, what we call holy, is usually not based on God, but we'll still follow these people. We'll do things based on these people. Some of us still hold on to traditions more than we do what the word says. Like I said, many are just very hard pressed. Fine, if you want to get dressed up for church, do it. I'm not going to knock it. But some people, man, they're adamant about that. They must do that. If you don't do that, in fact, all you got to do is put on, if I got clean every day and put on a suit and walked in there that way, they think I'm the most holy man. I can give you a whole lot of garbage, but I'm clean. And you see how foolish that is, right? Because we're going off of what the world said. You won't find anything in the word that says anything about as long as they're, I'm talking about outwardly clean. But do you see, think of some of the things we allowed in our lives to be seen as holy. And that's why we're in a position we're in now. He said, such a person goes into great detail about what he has seen, and you'll believe him, and his unspiritual mind puffs him up with idle notions. He'll give you things which he'll give you, and you'll believe in him, and they're meaningless, and they'll cause a lot of problems. And it shows you, this person probably was once a Christian, but it says in verse 19, he has lost connection with the head. Who's the head? That's Christ, from whom the body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. The minute you lose your connection to Christ, that person is a threat to your Christianity. And we have a lot of those right now, right? Unfortunately, see these young people leaving these other messed up churches, but unfortunately, they're not going out there and they're finding Jesus. You already messed them up. Some of them want nothing to do with Jesus. That's the ultimate stumbling block. How many organizations did you hear some of these people? When you just go on the internet, listen to what they say. Okay, because they didn't leave because they couldn't take the Bible. Listen to what they say. They left for some religious nonsense that somebody made up, which isn't Christian. Now that person, now who labeled it Christian, left that thing that they called Christianity. They're out there ministering that Christianity is bad. They watch those people that call them Christians participating, supporting, and being part of people that are definitely not Christians. Do you think that ministers to non-Christians? But we still participate. Ultimately, the Bible reveals who rejects and denies the truth of remaining grounded in the foundation of Christ. Okay? He gives us all the information we need that we can check ourselves. Such individuals are destined to be separated from God forever. That's the ones who are condemned. However, those who remain on that foundation, living by faith, will be rewarded according to the reverence and focus they demonstrate throughout their lives. If I really, and we probably got to do it again, I think we already did it, so it'll probably be next year, apply true reverence to our lives, this would fall into place. So what will it take for us to do that? Questions?
Did you say that I hear arguments about salvation? Did you just say that we cannot lose our salvation?
Right, we can't. We can decline it. Guess that?
Okay. So you're actually talking about Christians can't lose it.
Cannot lose your salvation. You can't. Nobody can lose their salvation. Nobody can take your salvation. But you can decline it. Right. Declining it is you, what he showed in the word. If I am, through my actions and through my life, doing something against it, fallen from grace where he told you, condemned. But these are choices that we make.
Mm-hmm.
You understand that? Yeah, but don't think I was doing my best and, you know, life got busy and I just lost my. No, it doesn't work that way. It's choices you made. I know we like to play the victim as if we really tried and we got distracted. That's what Satan wants us to believe. But anybody who will fall from that grace, as the Bible shows, is a person who chose. And this is where the lack of reverence comes in. But no, you cannot lose your salvation, and nobody can take your salvation, but you can decline it. We did a study on eternal security when we talked about, can you lose your salvation? I'll do that again as God allows in the future, just to show you what the word is saying so you don't think it's coming from me.
No, I have to go back because I remember that title now that you said it. Okay. Thank you.
Yep. Other questions?
Okay, Pastor.
Hey.
The verse we just read in 2 John.
2 John 7. You went away. That's not. Y'all still hear me, or am I not hearing her?
None of us can hear her.
Okay. Chanson, mute your mic and then bring it back on. See if that works.
Okay.
All right, there we go. Better. Right, I hear you now.
Okay.
Stand right where you're at. Don't move. Go.
Okay. The verse we just read, the person who does the would be a deceiver and an antichrist. So I was asking, how does that compare to the Antichrist who is in Revelations?
So the Antichrist, the man of sin, is going to be the actual Antichrist. But as you see, there's a verse that in 1 John even tells us, the spirit of the Antichrist, anybody who supports that, you become that, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So you're seeing people today doing the work of the Antichrist. And as simple as this, in which they portray themselves, like Satan does, as an angel of light, but they're disguised. And he gives us our protection because of what they've added to it. Does that make sense? So in other words, they'll preach some of the Bible, like I said, and they'll get you by emotion. Their compassion will go towards sin. They'll do stuff that the Bible is clear that we're not supposed to do. They'll give you one thing that you do good, and they do all this other stuff bad.
So are they antichrist because they're not Christ?
Exactly.
Not Christ-like.
Not Christ-like. Right. Okay. But understand them. If you're not careful, you'll see some biblical stuff they do and give them all the credit. That's where we get messed up.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
That's why I tell you all to test me. You may hear some sermons and they may be great and you may love them, but not what you feel, not what you like about them. Did you check everything to make sure it's sound in God's word? And you got to check everybody's preaching to you.
So does that just pertain to pastors?
What do you mean?
Antichrist
No,
type.
that title, the Antichrist is going to, or the man of sin is going to be one person, but
Right.
the spirit of it is to anybody teaching. And Christians, one of the things Christians must do is teach. Now, you have the title of teacher that are in the ministry, but there are others that teach. You have people that do Bible study on earth. You have people that come to you and they just want to minister to you. You have people that meet people out on the streets and they want to talk to them. The key to it is we our protection is to make sure it's sound in the word.
Yep. So I got another question.
Okay.
When you were talking about the BLM and All Life Matters, so what was you saying was the problem with All Lives Matter, spiritually, I guess?
They saw somebody hurting and they dismissed it. You understand that? In other words, somebody came to you and said something that goes against what you thought, and instead of you going, "What's the matter? What's the problem?" you went, "No, all lives matter." See how that worked? And the communication that we're supposed to have is we're supposed to be quick to listen. So I see somebody hurting. Mine shouldn't be, "Ain't nothing wrong." You get that? First thing should have been done. Why are they saying Black Lives Matter? Hey, can we sit down and we talk about it? That's not what happened. Where Black Lives Matter got it wrong is it came out in anger, came out just with Black Lives Matter. And they should have added the word also. Just something simple as that to go, what do you mean also? Aren't we doing it? There's a lot of people who think life is fair, and there's a lot of people who think it's unfair. Christians should sit down and the Bible will show us how things really are and how to deal with it. We don't do that. We go with what group we like. So both of those groups are wrong when it comes to God.
But in that Christian groups anyway.
They're not at all, no. Neither of them are. But you have Christian organizations supporting one or the other. I've
Right.
seen churches that have Black Lives Matter signs and all that stuff, and they
Right.
support it. And I've seen churches who wear black, all lives matter hats and stuff like that, because it sounds, but the organizations are not built on God, and all this is causing is divisive.
So when you were talking about witchcraft and teaching. So, I mean, not witchcraft, superstition. So,
Superstition.
superstition is witchcraft, isn't it? And both of them are.
Even though it's a form of false ways you do things. I mean, you can clump them all in one, but witchcraft and superstition can stand by themselves as just two wrong things you got to watch out for. Does that make
Okay.
sense?
Thank you.
Other questions?
Good evening. I'm just listening. This is me, Fatima.
Hey sis, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How's everybody?
I'm sure Chancellor said good. We didn't understand it, but that's all right.
Yeah, I'm doing good too. Thank you for asking.
Me as well. Thank you,
Me
Fatima.
too.
Welcome. Just
Other
listening.
question? I'm sorry.
I said, I'm just listening.
All right. Other question. And if y'all ever have questions afterwards, y'all know you can text me or reach out to Sister Lisa and we'll get it on one of the other things. There was a request, and I just got to put this out to you guys. I'm going to, once again, God willing, start recording. I know I tried it before. I'll try it again. Books of the Bible. So we probably will have a section out there where that'll be on there. Question and answer is going to be a little harder to do. I'm talking about with the men and with the women. I don't know. I got to still look into that because it's a little more chaotic and it would take a lot more adjusting on that. So you get this one question and answer on the weekly Bible study, but let me look into that. But for the request that came out, I'm going to work on books of the Bible being one of the things that either you're going to see on YouTube or you're going to see on a website or both.
Is it wrong to say, is it wrong for a Christian to say someone even a pastor or just Christian, to say that someone is going to hell. I mean, their actions may prove that they're not a Christian, but do we know what actually happens at the end?
Right, it is wrong to
So
say that.
you say it is wrong.
Because
Okay.
we don't know everything in that. We now
Right.
we can look at it and put a warning of if this is what they're doing, they're headed to hell. That's we have to put it out of this. We don't know the entire picture. We don't know everything. So we preach so that they don't go. But it's the same way as when we say somebody's going to heaven. How many times you hear people say, "Oh, we'll see you again." Just as wrong. And I think we hurt a lot of people worse, not when we condemn them, but when we automatically say they're going to heaven. Because you have some people who have nothing to do with God. They probably attended church once or twice. Bible's not touched. None of the Christian thing that the Bible clearly says we have to be, and we give them a homecoming. Now, the people at the homecoming, what are they getting out of that? When we just honorarily said they are going to heaven, they'll go, if he's going to heaven, and you got a lot of people that are doing that exact thing. They think it's going to be a Hallmark movie where I'm going to do one good thing and everybody's going to love me, and then the angel's going to come and I'm going to go to heaven. It doesn't work that way. And the Bible's clear on that. And I think we do more danger with these emotional settings instead of God fearing religious, I mean, a God fearing, spiritual settings out there. So yeah, both are wrong when we just say that's where they're going.
Okay, thank you.
Don't know, but did you say before that that's judging?
Because what are you basing it on? What you see. Now, I can say what they're doing from what I see would take them to hell if that's how they're living, what all that other stuff. Now I'm using faith because I'm just going off of that. But if I just judge them 100% and I don't know the whole entire picture and I don't know what I'm seeing, you know what I mean? Because you have some people that just like to judge. Remember, there was a minister years ago who you would see him at a certain time every Sunday and he'd go into a bar and they would just shake their head. And everybody got it and they understood what had happened. Same thing, it was in Nevada. Same, a minister would go into the prostitute houses and stuff like that. Okay, people look at them, shake their head. In both cases, they would never say anything. Okay, and I know we're not supposed to give the thing of or give
Your parents.
the appearance, thank you, of evil. However, in both cases, you went and talked to the people. They say they would get an orange juice, or the one he paid the money and he'd sit there and say, "We're gonna have Bible study." He got some of them out that house. The same thing in the bar. He would go in there. Some would slow their drinking down, then stop their drinking. You understand? He was going to the people we need to reach out to, but we're too busy judging, just like they did Jesus when he sat with the sinners. So we make up stuff that we call sin so we can shake our head and go, "You know, you shouldn't be doing that." And we're no different than the Pharisees and Sadducees, and we're missing the actual people we should be ministering to.
Makes you really take a serious think about yourself and how you think.
It does. But we are molded because we allowed. When we go back to reverence, and one thing, I grew up in Holiness Church, went to an outside church, was in very strict churches, very, liberal church. I went to a bunch of them, and it wasn't until I start checking. Because my question was, man, all of these are churches, they all claim to love Jesus. What is the difference? Why is it so different? We have the source of truth. So why are we confused? And ask anybody. I'm easily confused. You know what I mean? I'm one of those that'll sit there, and if the movie's not scientific, I'm asking Lisa questions all the time. And poor thing, she has to answer me and not get mad because I'm easily confused. I'll be the first to tell you. However, I'm not confused about God's word because if you don't give me solid out of that, I'm checking every day just for that reason because I'm easily confused.
Gotcha.
Any other questions? Okay, like I said before, check me, check anybody that gives you any information. Use your source of truth. Use the word of God. It's consistent, it's solid, it's perfect, and it'll guide you in there. Be careful, you have a lot of experts, quote unquote experts out there that'll try to give you their answer or their spin on something. And if you get caught up in their education and their brilliance, you will be misled. Okay, that's why we're finishing up the study that we're doing on the things that we mistake for spiritual. Check it based on the word. We all have that access, and we all can check on that to make sure we are protected. And have that reverence, knowing I have to do this. Don't make time. Make sure the time is there. I have to do this as medication that if I don't take, I will die. All right. If there's nothing else, so we'll be starting a new study, God willing, next week. Let's pray. Dear most heavenly, most gracious Father, once again, thank you so much, Lord, for this opportunity for us to get together in your word. And we ask you to help us to continue to stay focused on you. We know all that's around us, the things that we go through, life itself can be a distraction. And so many of us get so involved and so caught up in that. In fact, most of us, that we tend to allow ourselves to go astray. So let us look and encourage one another, dear Lord. Encourage one another in you, not in emotion, not in these worldly ways, dear Lord, that we may strive, that we may persevere, that we may be strengthened, that we may continue to endure and not become discouraged based on what we see, but to always be strengthened by what you say. Thank you so much, dear Lord, for your mercy and your grace and all that you continue to give to us. And we just ask you to guide us where you would have us to be, despite what the world may think. We want to minister to those knowing that the time is short, and help us to continue to check ourselves so we're not living in denial. We give you the glory, the praise, and the honor, and all these blessings we ask in your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ's name. We say, amen.
Amen.
Love you, family.
Good night.
Night.
Good night.